On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody jump.
Yes. A good Monday morning to one and all. It's Taz of the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio. You've got Mike and Pete across the way. Andrew's got your updates as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS.
Attention hotline fans.
Yes, that is your number to call. What's going on, Taz? How you doing, buddy?
Oh, good. Looks good. Hope you're great. Hope your weekend was great. Hope your football weekend was great. Hope everything was
you
great.
You as well. Hopefully you had a wonderful weekend, too.
Yeah, it was great. It was awesome.
Good.
Yeah, very busy. You're busy. I'm busy. We're very busy here. We're busy individually. We're busy together. We're busy. You know, we're just busy. Everybody's busy. People are busy right now. It's a busy time of year. Before you know it, you'll be busier because it'll be the holidays.
Yes.
What's with this mic? What is going on here? I miss a day or two and people mess with my mic. Only I use this mic, right? Nobody else.
No, that's not true.
Just want to make sure. Okay, that's what I was told from day one. I guess I was lied to.
I think you were.
All right.
I think someone fibbed to you if they said you're the only one that sits in that seat.
It's only your mic, Taz. Only yours.
I think that someone did lie to you. But yes.
Yeah, I lied to.
I think that's your mic screen. I don't think that's your mic.
That's about it. Yeah. I got nothing else.
Good. I'm glad you had a good weekend, and hopefully everyone out there had themselves a wonderful, busy weekend or a relaxing weekend or whatever it might be. There's a lot to get into. What a strange NFL Sunday it was, Taz.
Yeah. For some of us, it stunk. But yes, it was strange.
It was just when you have a couple double-digit underdogs winning the games outright with Miami in Indianapolis as a 10.5-point underdog, even with Brian Hoyer at quarterback for the Colts and no Jacoby Brissett, when you have the Atlanta Falcons, who have been a putrid football team, for the better part of the first eight games, as they were 1-7. Going into their Week 10 matchup down in New Orleans as nearly a two-touchdown underdog, and not just winning the game, but winning the game by 17 points, 26-9 the final, and being the better football team throughout the course of that game. I mean, that is absolutely stunning.
Biggest shocker, right, for you? That's the biggest shocker for me.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Definitely, right?
I would agree with that. Yeah, I mean, I was surprised by Miami as well. But I would say, I'd say the Atlanta Falcons.
That was
when
a closer game,
Kirk Cousins winning on the road against a team that's above 500 and playing pretty well. I mean, that's a stunner, too. I mean, so you had all kinds of surprises in what was a wild and crazy kind of Week 10 in the National Football League.
Yeah, I know. And my Cowboys still continue to fall. My NFC team, which I think I'm going to be wrong on that one. They lose to the Vikings. But, you're right. Back to that Saints thing, though, with the Falcons. That was a complete blindside. I mean, I didn't really. I thought that the Falcons would be more or less in tank mode city. But to go and do that, New Orleans is crazy. Yeah, crazy. Yeah, crazy. Definitely crazy weekend. Shockers for sure. I'm sure people that dabble in any kind of sports action betting, this probably affected them immensely in Vegas and other areas, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. I would say so. But I do know a number of guys that thought the Colts were a soft favorite. Didn't think the Dolphins would win the game outright. Yeah, at 10.5-11 when Hoyer was announced as the quarterback.
Sure.
Because Hoyer's terrible.
Yeah.
And you saw that over the course of the game yesterday. Brissett is obviously a much better and more talented signal caller than Brian Hoyer is, and you saw his deficiencies. I think the one that surprised a lot of people was the fact that the Saints get beat in the style and fashion in which they did, because we gave them a lot of credit for how they were undefeated with Teddy Bridgewater at quarterback.
Yeah.
The fact that the defense had played so well this year for Dennis Allen, the special teams had chipped in two. That game up in Seattle, I hearken back to that game where they had an offensive touchdown, a defensive touchdown, and a special teams touchdown on the road in Seattle, which is difficult to do amongst the 12s. And they come back home, a place in which it's ravenous, where the fan base is, off the charts loud, Taz. And I know both franchises kind of hate one another. The Falcons can't stand the Saints,
right.
The Saints can't stand the Falcons, and it is a true bitter rivalry. It's still stunning and surprising the fact that it ended that way with the way that the Saints went down, the fact that they could not punch in, score a touchdown offensively over the course of the game, a secondary that struggled for Atlanta. I mean, the week off for the Atlanta Falcons did justice, and we talked about last week. I think, yes, we talked about before, before you were a little bit under the weather, the changes that the Atlanta Falcons made to their coaching staff, right? They made three changes to their coaching staff, during the course of the bye week. They got Matt Ryan back at quarterback, and I'm not telling you the Falcons have turned their season around, but it is surprising at how well they played yesterday down in New Orleans on the road. Down in the bayou. That was stunning. And I couldn't believe it.
I couldn't believe it either. In a place that's ultra, ultra tough to play in, to play against the Saints in that dome. And to hold Kamara, for the Falcons defense, to hold Kamara to under 25 yards rushing, dude, it's crazy. I mean, it's just, he only had four attempts, but Breeze, 32 of 45, I'm looking at it right now, 287 yards. You got to think about it. If I'm a Saints fan, I'm thinking, well, you know what? I'd rather see Bridgewater right now. I mean, no disrespect to the future Hall of Famer and Drew Brees, but, it's a shocker. It's a shocker for sure.
Yeah, it is surprising. I mean, I don't want to, and that's why I think where sometimes, maybe I get caught up into it. I think people, where you overreact to 1 week, right? It's just 1 week. It's one game. It's a bad loss. It's the 17-point loss to a team that was 1-7. The one thing I would say is that penalties, I think the fact that the Saints were able to, the Saints offensive line struggled with the pass rush of the Atlanta Falcons as well. Breeze was under duress in some key situations. That was a concern and a problem over the course of that game. And the Falcons were able to kind of finish off drives where the Saints were not. It's not like the Saints didn't have the football. They did. I mean, the Falcons won the time of possession, but I would look at it, 6-1 in terms of penalties, six penalties for 45 yards for the New Orleans Saints. And the Atlanta Falcons played a clean football game on the road. They had just one penalty the entire game for just 8 yards. I mean, that's what you need to do. But even with all that being said, Taz, the Falcons were a bad team. Yeah. I mean, they were a bad, unwatchable football team that more often than not was getting their doors blown off in these games. I mean, the Los Angeles Rams went down there and absolutely embarrassed them down in Atlanta. And the fact that they go on the road, I don't care about the bye week, and were able to play that kind of a game. Say to yourself, well, then where the hell was that the first 8 weeks of the year?
Absolutely. And you have a guy, one of the better wide receivers in the game, in Thomas for the Saints, who had a hell of a game.
Oh, 13 catches.
Yeah, hell of a game, over 150 yards. And you can't score touchdowns. The Falcons, I'm sorry, the Saints, field goal, first quarter, that's it. Second quarter, field goal, that's it. Third quarter, field goal, that's it. As far as points, fourth quarter, donut. I mean, like you're saying, you got to be able to punch it in the red zone. You got to be able to score.
No question. And then you say to yourself, okay, how much do you read into it? Right, because that's the kind of the question that you threw out there. How much do you read into it? Have we overrated the Saints on what they did? Is it just a blip on the screen? Is it a case, Taz, where that Saints team stepped onto the field thinking that game was over before it started, saying Atlanta stinks? I don't care if it's a rivalry. We don't really need our A-plus effort. Or I'm talking about taking a team a little bit too lightly. I'm not talking about an effort, I guess.
Right.
I phrased that a little wrong. But maybe not having the same focus going into a game, because I mean, that would be the only way I could rationalize it out, because it makes no sense. I mean, because I think if I get a focused Saints team, I think they're winning that game. At the very least, they're winning the game. I don't know if they're covering a 13.5-point spread, but they are winning that football game, and they didn't. So what do you read into it? Do you read into it the fact that maybe they took him a little bit lightly?
Right.
Maybe it was a case of, okay, getting Kamara back from injury and Drew Brees, and you give the Falcons a little bit of a credit. That's what makes the NFL great, is you never know what's going to happen week to week.
Sure.
Or do you say we misjudged the Saints? Maybe they're not nearly as good as we thought they were, for the first, 7-8 weeks of the NFL regular season.
Yeah, it's a tough thing. It's a tough question to answer, Moose, but it's a good question. I would. My first instinct would be they look past. They look past the Falcons and looking to, I think they play the Buccaneers for next, and they're going down to Tampa to play the Buccaneers. Maybe that's it, but that's not like it's like some massive rivalry. The Saints and the Buccaneers, like, oh my God, we've got to beat the Bucs. So I don't know if it's that either. If they look past the Falcons, or if they just got outplayed and just weren't a fit. Just look, the Falcons, you laid it out perfectly. They played a clean game. They played a very clean game.
They did.
And they scored points.
Oh, but it's not like they went off on, you know, Matt Ryan had 174 passing yards.
Right.
It's not like they had, you know, you look at what they were able to do running the football. I mean, the Atlanta Falcons had a good day running the football. They ran for 143 yards. They kept the Saints offense off the field. They were decent enough on third down conversions. They won the time of possession. I guess I look at it, Taz, and I say, all right, well, clearly, I mean, the consistency, this is one that, you know, if maybe the Saints were feeling their oats a little bit, it stinks for the bettors. It stinks for people that took it because that was an absolute tsunami in knockout pools. It stinks if you took New Orleans in knockout pools. But maybe this is something, Taz, that Sean Payton and that coaching staff needed to for this team to maybe get humbled a little
bit
to get that hunger back, because that's an embarrassing loss. And if that loss doesn't grab your team's attention, then nothing will. Maybe they were feeling their oats. Maybe they were reading the press clippings. Maybe they said, oh, you know what? We are a great team. We're going to be right there with the 49ers at the end in the NFC Championship game for a chance to get ourselves to the Super Bowl. Maybe they felt all this. Maybe this is the type of loss that can maybe even catapult the Saints to play even more focused over the course of, you know, from weeks 11 through 17.
Well, no, I think you make a really good point right there, man, because I do think Peyton's going to get, he's going to get these guys. They're pro athletes. They're multimillionaires. But this is going to be humbling time. This is now, they got embarrassed. They got punked out at home in the dome, okay, by a bad football team, okay, by a bad team. And it wasn't a close game. Like, it wasn't close at all, like you said before. So, you know, in the NFC South, the Falcons are dead last. And the Saints are first. So now, you know, I would think Peyton's going to definitely have these guys primed and pumped for when they go down to Tampa and play the Buccaneers. You got to be, because it is humbling. It's embarrassing. We're starting our show off, like a lot of people probably are, talking about this victory on the road by the Falcons. Listen, it's tough to win in the NFL for these teams and these coaches, these players to win. Nevertheless, on the road, nevertheless, in New Orleans against a dominant, you know, Saints team where Breeze is back now. But that's the thing, too, though. You know, when they had Bridgewater rolling and Hill was shuttling in and out, and then they do the wildcat stuff at the quarterback spot or whatever they were doing, they were tough to prepare for. What Sean Payton was doing creatively, offensively, with that team and his coordinator, they were really tough to deal with.
They were.
I think with Breeze now, not that it's, I'm a fan of Breeze. I don't want to knock Breeze, but
it's a more traditional offense.
Right, exactly. Well said. That's my thing. So maybe that was a little bit of an easier thing to prepare for Atlanta, as opposed to when you have a Bridgewater in there.
Maybe. And you might be right. And listen, when they're using Bridgewater, and especially when they're using Taysom Hill, they're a little bit more difficult to prepare for. I do think they open up the offense, the passing game, a little bit more with Breeze than they did with Bridgewater. So it's kind of the yin and the yang effect, right? Where do you sit there offensively? But and it's not like Breeze did anything poorly. It's not like he went out there and threw 10 picks, Taz.
Right.
You know, he threw for nearly 300 yards. He only had 13 incompletions in the game. It's not like it's just a matter of the inefficiency of the offense. See, I look at it, I say, I think it's just a blip on the screen. I think it's a strange blip. I think I would be, you know, troubled if I was Peyton and that coaching staff. But I still feel New Orleans is one of the upper echelon teams in the NFC. You know, and right there in terms of the best team in the NFC, even coming off this kind of a loss, because of really kind of what I've witnessed and what we've all witnessed on their entire resume up until this point in the year. I'll give them a pass on this. I'll say, all right, it's one of those days. It's an NFL Sunday. It's a rivalry game. It's the Atlanta Falcons. They're coming off a bye. Maybe the Saints took them too lightly, as you pointed out, and maybe that's the case why you got that kind of a performance. I don't know if it's necessarily a sign of things to come. I don't know if it's necessarily a crack in the armor of the New Orleans Saints and saying, uh-oh, I'd be a little concerned about how this team finishes. I got to see them play this poorly again. You know, say they go down to Tampa and lose to the Buccaneers and Jameis Winston and Bruce Arians, then I think you could start to maybe be a little concerned and alarmed. But let's see that happen first.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. And if that happens, then you better get Bridgewater rolling. Tell you that right now. Well, because they were scoring points, man.
Scoring points. But let me ask you that question. Do you think Breeze has, you know, you've seen Bridgewater. They went undefeated, Taz. You bring up the point is, you know, how much pressure do you think is on Breeze here to perform, if any at all? Do you think it's just his job, sink or swim, regardless? I mean, a future Hall of Famer? Or do you think it's a case of if this offense does struggle a little bit, that Sean Payton might tinker with it a little bit or think about the idea of putting Bridgewater back in at quarterback?
I'm going to tell you, man, this might not be the popular thing to say, but I do think there's pressure on Breeze. Because, Moose, I remember watching those several of those games and watching Breeze on the sideline in street clothes. And, you know, these guys all are competitors. They all want to play. They all want to win and all this jazz. But he looked borderline stressed that he wasn't out there. I mean, I'm not a psychoanalyst that I could just read someone's eyes.
I agree with you.
I kind of can, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But I'm not perfect at it. You know, I can judge a book usually by its cover. Most people shouldn't. Most people don't, and they can't. I kind of can. You know that.
Yes.
So when I looked at Breeze on my television screen, I could see he looked a little stressed many times. And I feel like, look, he's a competitor. Guys that are competitors, they know if someone is right behind them and breathing down their throat, they know it. They know it. That's why, you know, Tom Brady was happy in a pig. And you know what? That Garoppolo got sent away to San Fran. And he's Tom Brady.
True. I'll draw this. That's fair.
Just because you like competition doesn't mean you want competition.
That's fair. That's a great point. No, that is a good point.
Right there.
I will say this. I'll draw a comparison to Breeze and Ben Roethlisberger. When Breeze was on the sideline, you're right. Now, maybe it's the personality of the individuals, but when Breeze is on the sideline and he had an injury that he was set to return, yes, he did look stressed. He looked like he wanted to be out there. Ben Roethlisberger, comparatively speaking, out in Pittsburgh, as the Steelers, amazingly enough, are a 5-4 team after their victory yesterday at home against the Los Angeles Rams. Roethlisberger has got the earpiece in. He's kind of a pseudo coach on the sideline,
yeah.
And he's trying to help Mason Rudolph out. He does not look stressed at all
right.
In terms of his job security and his place
Agreed.
And where he is. You know, I agree. Two Hall of Fame quarterbacks,
yep.
Two guys that have been the brands of their organizations for the better part of less, you know, 12, 13, 14 years. They look completely different on the sideline. So maybe you're right. Maybe Breeze is feeling a little bit of the pressure.
Yeah, and you're right about Roethlisberger. That's a good point because the thing is with Roethlisberger, he's when I remember when we talked about it, when Mason Rudolph first came into the picture, Roethlisberger didn't want him there.
No, didn't want him there.
So to his credit doing that, and Eli Manning, you see, he's more, I mean, he lost his job to Jones, but he's like a coach too.
Yeah,
he's on the sideline really helping out, really doing his thing.
He
Man, a line in a week already on a Monday by Taz. Remember the line?
I do not. What's the line?
All right. I just said it about 2 minutes ago. The line was, you may like competition, but you don't want, no. You may like, Mike, what was it?
I don't remember.
Moose, you may like competition, but you don't want competition.
That's the line. Baby.
Is that the line?
That is the line, yes.
We're going to rewind the tape a little
while. That was the line. Good job. Yes.
How about that line of the week?
That is. Nice job. Already on a Monday.
Monday morning. First segment.
Taz delivers the line of the week.
Wow.
I've got to top that at some point this week. Right?
You'll get it. You're going to get it.
Thank you,
we should do that, though. We should do that going forward here for the next week or two. We should do line of the week.
Next week or two.
You never know. Yes. Next couple of weeks, the line of the week.
It's Taz and the Moose. Welcome back, brother. Welcome back. It's Taz and the Moose on this Monday morning. CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right. You got it. Yeah, your mic, Moose. Your mic.
Thank you.
Welcome back.
Sunday, yeah, it was not. Sunday, it's an NFL on CBS doubleheader featuring a battle between two of the most dynamic quarterbacks in the sport when Jackson and the Ravens welcome Watson and the Texans, followed by New England bracing for another tough road game in Philadelphia against the Eagles. It all starts with JB and the guys on the NFL Today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. And before we welcome Bogish into the house, I want to say certainly Veterans Day weekend. Happy Veterans Day. And we honor those and take time out. My dad, a Vietnam veteran, my father-in-law, a Vietnam vet, you know, one in the Air Force, one in the Army, and everything and the like. So for those men and women out there that put their lives on the line each and every day for
Absolutely.
Our way of life, for
Absolutely.
Those that have paid the ultimate sacrifice, and have lost their lives in battle and protecting our country and everything like that. You know, every day should really be Veterans Day, Taz. You and I talk about it all the time.
Yep.
Those that serve our country and are part of the armed forces deserve better, especially when they get back than they get. It's unfortunate that needs to change, but those need to be honored.
Yep.
Those men and women need to be honored each and every day, and especially today.
I completely agree with everything you just said, no doubt about it. And you know, the men and women of our fighting forces have defended our country for all these years and sacrificed their own personal lives and current men and women doing that for our country. It's the ultimate. So absolutely, thank you to all the veterans out there, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So it is a holiday Monday morning. Taz is back in the fold. Mark Malusis with you as well, as we take you right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time. Bokish is in the house. What's going on, Andrew?
Moose. Taz.
Yes, Andrew, good
America,
morning.
Good morning. Another slow start.
America.
Oh, did you hear that one?
Yes,
is that new?
Yes, that is new. Yeah, that's his repertoire. America, good morning.
America, good morning. Wow,
yes.
Sounds like a new TV show on ABC.
Is the country not listening?
Yes.
Well, no, yeah, they
this
are.
Is on, right?
I think that's on Apple Plus.
but wait, hold on. Apple Plus is the new Apple TV?
Yeah.
Listen, you just sidetracked me, because I'm a big Apple TV guy, but I haven't done this yet.
Yeah.
Someone educate me. I've been busy the past few days. Someone educate me.
Yeah.
To the difference.
So Apple
is a streaming service.
It's a streaming service, but
I have that.
It wants you, well, no, this is a separate thing that you would use through the physical Apple TV little box, or there's an app for the, you know, a Fire Stick or for Roku.
Yeah.
It's for everything, but in the end they want you to watch everything through that. They have some of their own programming, but they want it to be a portal for everything. You can watch Netflix through there, you can watch Amazon Prime through
Hulu
there.
Jones,
Hulu
HBO.
Jones.
Right.
But
Showtime
tomorrow the demand. Disney thing launches, and that's a whole other thing.
Which is
Disney
great.
Plus tomorrow.
Yes.
Well, what is that going to be? Is that
that's another thing that reach into your pocket.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a streaming service too. The whole catalog of Disney and Pixar movies, Marvel, Star Wars, National Geographic is lumped in there too.
You want me to talk about Marvel guys? I got people. You know.
Yeah.
That's great.
Just talk to them about stuff.
I think this is so, they want their money so bad, I don't think that's going to help.
I know,
I don't think
but here's
that's
the thing,
help,
though.
But that's a nice
like,
try.
The stinky
they
thing,
want their $5.99 a month.
Like all
or
the,
whatever it is.
Well, you're right. All the years, though, of people paying for cable TV and satellite TV, I mean, things are changing. Things are changing for that industry.
No doubt.
Because of the technology
absolutely,
and streaming
absolutely.
And apps.
Cord
and,
cutters, yeah.
Absolutely.
Pick what you want. Don't pay for it all.
That's it. On-demand city. That's it. On-demand Jones. That's what it
but
is.
But there is a deal. I think if you get a new Apple device, you do get Apple TV. Apple,
free for a year.
Free for a year.
Yes.
And I do believe if you're a Verizon customer, you do get the Disney Plus for a year as well.
That is also true.
Yes. So you can get Disney and Apple free for a year to test it out.
And they're
you
also,
just got to do your due diligence.
Yeah, and neither one is
out there.
That expensive. Apple TV is $5 a month if it's not free Jones.
Mm.
And I think Disney is $7 a month, but cheaper if you pay for the entire year up front.
Yes.
I mean, what is, just seriously, what is too much per month for people to pay for, let me finish, for content? Like, because that's a big thing in the podcasting world, too. A lot of people are putting their content behind subscription walls.
Mm.
And WWE, their success has been with their subscription model, but they also have free content, obviously, on TV. But theirs is $10 a month, and you get a lot for $10 a month from them.
Well, don't I'm just you get, saying, like, and you get all the pay-per-views, right?
You get all, it's a hell of a bargain.
That's a hell of a deal.
Yeah, in wrestling, they've changed
again. Those pay-per-views, if I pay, is it still $40 a month?
It's
or
something
50?
Like that, right, Pete? Somewhere in that vicinity,
40
right?
To 40 to 50 a month?
Something
a little more,
yeah.
Oh, okay,
like WWE
thank you,
stuff,
Pete?
Yeah. So, but here's the, what I'm saying is, you guys are a little bit younger than me. Like, what is like too much to pay per month? I guess everyone's budget's different. I know that, but like, is it a point where there's like, all right, $5 here, $6 here? We pay subscription base for this. All right, that's another $3. Like, what's too much?
It might all be too much.
All right, that's very soon. No,
but I mean, like, seriously, like. It's like the, you know, the Disney thing. If you have a
Moose
kid,
just topped my line in a week. Then Seg too. He topped my line in a week, which is Seg one.
Well, you just teed me up. I don't know. That's a good question. It depends on. I think The honest answer, Taz, I think it depends on the thirst for the subscriber of the content, right? So I think that Disney Plus, if you've got young kids, the fact that the entire Disney catalog is there on demand.
So every, it's like with WWE wrestling. Same thing
every,
kids with
every
Disney.
Movie, because they're
and
movies,
you can download it. And so you can put it on an iPad, right, put it in the car when you're driving somewhere, too.
So all of that being there for your kids, like every movie, like that's amazing. Like that is worth the price.
But don't you want to talk to the kids, though, when they're in the
car?
No,
when you're 4 hours driving to Montauk, like, you need to put a movie on.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
shut up.
Right.
Come
then
on.
Then it doesn't stop. Yeah. No, you want to talk to your kids.
Year, Andrew Bogus.
Right. What do you think? You're breaking down world peace with a 2-year-old?
Yeah. Are we there yet? I got to pee. I dropped my Cheerios.
Right.
Put your movie on, and then you got to peace and quiet for an hour and a half.
My kid's older now, so I forget those times. But yeah. Well, my kid used to get in the car and go right to sleep. Like his whole youth. He got the car and
a 4-hour workout beforehand. He was exhausted.
Well, my kids
doing up downs and running.
Kids like to take naps in the car. I agree with you. But
big nap guy he was.
But I don't know for 4 hours.
Dude, this
we
kid
don't
was
have,
asleep,
we don't
bro.
Have we don't have a TV in the car. I'm just talking about it at home. Sometimes it's a treat if they have a Jackson has a good report card. They're good at home. Whatever, treat them. They can watch a little bit of a movie.
That's a treat
during the course of a day.
Man,
the,
you guys
the,
run a the tough movie, house.
Seriously,
man.
No McDonald's.
No.
Every once in a while,
it's like a Marine Corps. Talk about Veterans Day.
McDonald's. McDonald's, no.
What are you guys doing?
I mean, and yet they're still setting fires.
I know. Well, they're three boys.
They're wrecking the house.
They didn't set a fire. That was the washing machine, but thank you, man.
Yeah.
Not set a fire.
So are you guys going to put your kids
Have you figured out why it was burning yet?
The matches and the lighters are high up on a shelf. They can't reach those yet.
You want PDAC to come by them, my guy?
No. All right.
So... are you guys going to do the Disney thing?
Yeah, I'm going to get it for a year. I get it for free for a year.
Oh, you get it for free.
So yeah. So, yeah, we're going to do it.
And you're getting it?
I do not get it for free for a year because I am not a Verizon customer, but I probably will because it also eliminates the need to buy DVDs.
Yeah.
DVD's still a thing.
Well, Blu-ray, same. I just can't.
I just download
the stuff. The links
Apple.
And stuff. Link Jones on Apple. Yeah, that's. Yeah,
I just download the movie. I don't buy DVDs.
We still physically. I will when they want a movie. I'll buy the physical like Blu-ray DVD combo because our old car had a DVD player, so I needed a physical DVD to throw in there for them to watch on our longer trips.
Our kids have destroyed the DVDs. They throw them around the house like frisbees.
Well, there you go. So.
Maybe give him some McDonald's. Moves.
Literally, Jackson. Literally,
maybe make
the other
him
day,
happy. I don't know.
Gregory was walking around.
Was a long way.
Yeah, the other day, like, I walked into Gregory's room and he had the Lion King DVD that he was throwing up against the wall. I was like, "All right, Gregory, you give me that. That can no longer be played." I looked at the back; there was basically like a scratch, like someone took a hammer to the back of it.
We now
put
we that understand.
Machine, we're good.
This is a coup d'état.
They put that washing machine on the porch.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, Gregory. And then he got upset that I took the DVD. I go, what are you going to do with this? What are you going to do with this?
Yes, he's destroyed it once, son. You can't destroy it again. Go grab a nice china. You can destroy that now.
Exactly, right. Everything's online. So, but yeah, I'm going to get it. Yeah. So,
but maybe people that are into, like, is, you know, obviously a lot of people love Marvel, you know, because they are owned by Disney.
Yeah.
By think, Disney,
yeah,
right?
Like, you get all the Marvel movies, plus you get Star Wars too.
And Star Wars too, I forgot about
you get
that.
All the Star Wars.
Yeah. I mean, I've done the research on cord cutting, so I'm very close to doing it. And even if you factor
I sound like I feel like I'm get off my lawn moment. So it's a cord cutter. That's the gimmick. That's been around a while, that nickname.
Well, let me,
everything's got a moniker now.
Well, it's picked up momentum, more and more steam. It's basically
cord cutter.
Yeah, although I still have the internet cord,
cable.
Which will allow me to watch all these things.
No cable.
But
like
what about
no cable?
I have satellite TV. So
you're not a cord cutter.
What am I?
No, you're just school. Regular. You're,
I'm a former world heavyweight champion.
No,
that's
no,
what
no
I am.
Stop. If you have DirecTV, if you have Cablevision, you have Dish, whatever it might be, I mean, you're part of, you know, the old school kind of, you know, having the cable service flipping around through TVs. Cord cutting is basically.
No, cord.
No, paying for what you want.
On demand.
Correct.
Yeah.
All on demand. Right.
Yeah. And you need to have some kind of like pseudo cable coverage so you can log into all the different channel apps. Like, so you need to do like whether it's Sling or PlayStation View is one.
That's
you need to have like some base. But even that, like,
what do you mean? I have Apple TV and I don't have any of that stuff.
Right, because you're using like if you wanted to watch like the ESPN app or the Cooking Channel app or Nat Geo app, you still need to log in.
Geo's got an app.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
With your cable subscription.
Is it him and Boomer
and Geo?
Yeah, and a guy named Nat.
Yeah. But you open it up, it's him doing a Joe Beningo.
Yeah. $8.99 a month.
Right, that's exactly right. No,
I'm just gonna do it.
That's the cold
now.
Open. No, that's the cold
right.
Open.
No, they learned from Mike's mistake. It's $7.99 a month.
But the boom, line of the week. Almost topped himself.
Off to a fast start today. Guys.
He's not playing around.
It's not $8.99.
Oh my God, he's on fire.
Let's trim a dollar off that.
Oh my God, that was funny. Oh, gee.
What's going on?
Oh, yeah.
On,
so, another slow start for the Dallas Cowboys last night.
Great one.
But they found themselves in position to beat the Vikings at Jerry World.
Prescott in the gun, brings one in motion, fakes the give, rolls to his right, points, throws it to the side of the end zone. Cooper, touchdown, he did it again! Cooper's magic feet did it again! By the way, the hands aren't too bad either.
Brad Sham on Cowboys Radio. Dak Prescott's third TD pass of the night gave Dallas a 21-20 lead in the third quarter. But Dalvin Cook put the Vikings back in front. With a two-yard run with 2 seconds left in that third, they held on for a 28-24 victory. Prescott trying to be positive.
We've got to stop doing that, but we got over that, right? We overcame that, and as I said, gave ourselves an opportunity.
Yeah, they overcame a 14-0 hole to eventually still lose. They drop into a tie with the Eagles atop the NFC East. The Vikings go to 7-3. They stay a game behind the Packers, who fought off the Panthers 24-16 in the snow at Lambeau. The Saints somehow lost to the Falcons in the Superdome 26-9. The Titans blocked the field goal as time expired to surprise the Chiefs 35-32. And the Jets, less ugly than the Giants, 34-27. Saquon Barkley just 1 yard on 13 carries. College football, LSU a runaway number one in the new AP poll after winning at Alabama. The Tide end up fourth with Ohio State and Clemson in between them.
I'll tell you one thing about Barkley, and we'll see. He had an x-ray after the game, Taz and Andrew, and he would not comment on whether or not he was hurt. He was asked the question specifically, I think, by Ralph Acciano, if I'm hearing the voice right afterward. He's not healthy. Mm. The Giants are right now sitting there at a 2-8 team. They're not going anywhere. It's time to shut Saquon Barkley down until he's back on the field and healthy. You cannot have him, you know, he's too important for the long-term health and future of that organization. I don't think the offensive line's not playing well. He's not cutting the way he did. He's basically running into linemen.
Right, his explosiveness is not the same.
It's not there. Taz, you got to shut him down. I mean, enough said. The team's not going anywhere. Yeah. What's the proof here? He came back from the high ankle sprain.
Right, why they let him go so fast back from that in the first place? He wasn't coming back to a team needing him to make a playoff run.
I don't disagree with what you guys are saying. I really don't. But you got to look at the business end of it. They're paying this kid a good amount of money. People show up to these games to see him.
No,
he's the star of the team.
I get it, Taz, but I mean, are you really? The team's terrible.
I know they stink.
I mean, they're a bad team, but don't you have to think about, isn't that penny wise, pound foolish? Then aren't you thinking about the fact of the future of this team? Heaven forbid he goes out there and suffers a devastating knee injury, and then it's affecting him into the offseason. I'm not saying that's going to happen. The other thing is, he looks like a shell of himself.
Right, yeah. Right.
You know, Wayne Gallman actually looks more explosive than Saquon Barkley, and Gallman's a nice player because Barkley's hurt.
But, yeah, right. Barkley's hurt.
And Barkley's hurt, so why continue to roll a guy out there that can't play at the level that you expect, and people are expecting him because he's putting the jersey on and he's lining up to be Saquon Barkley.
Right.
But he's nowhere near that.
Well, they got a bye, right, this coming week, I believe? So at least they got a little, you know, whatever's going on. But I don't disagree with you, you know, and then I think they go to Chicago. So, you know, he is the star of the team. I mean,
I'm not denying that. I don't disagree with you. And maybe the week off will serve him good. And 2 weeks from now, he'll look a lot fresher. But I'll tell you, yesterday, and the Jets have got a good run defense, but Saquon Barkley looked awful.
And Jamal Adams embarrassed him on that strip sack.
Oh, no
just
doubt.
Ran right through him.
Like nothing. Like a sieve.
He really did. He pushed him away.
He really did.
He did. Like,
I was a little surprised at that.
He pushed
I know
him away like it was his younger brother. Like, get out of here.
Yeah, like
get
it was me.
Yeah, exactly. Good line, yeah. Like it was Andrew Bogus.
It was their Saquon Barkley. Yeah. Arkansas football has fired head coach Chad Morris. They're 4-18 in a season plus under him. The Lakers' 7-game win streak ends at home of the Raptors. 113-104. You think?
Yeah, 4-18.
They haven't won an SEC game since like December of 2017.
Yeah, right. He was just getting heated up.
Just getting rolling.
He's like, guys, what? I haven't gotten my guys in yet.
And the Seattle Sounders won their second MLS title in 4 years. 3-1 over Toronto.
Yes.
They had over 67,000 people.
I know. I was reading about it.
More than any Seahawk game ever.
That's crazy. Oh,
the largest crowd ever for a game in that building.
There is just...
They love their Sounders.
It's crazy. Like,
they do that walk thing.
What do they do?
They do like a walk, like to the game.
They
like
walk in as, they as walk like in
as,
mob.
As a mob. They have like banners and stuff.
No, the fans.
They probably
have a gimmicky nickname that I don't know, like for the fan
probably
club.
Something. I saw it on Real Sports.
I know Pete the Body's on him. He'll tell a story after the break.
Pete's like, what's soccer?
Mike can't spell Sounders.
Red Bulls. Yeah, we got to get empanadas again.
Their season's over. That's out.
Sorry.
We'll see you in the spring.
I might be selling empanadas in a little while.
Guys, I'll see you tomorrow. Don't or put next hour, whatever it is.
I'll be on Lexington Ave.
855-212-4CBS.
What was your deal? $21 for three?
212-4CBS. Yeah, 21 for
21
three.
21 for three.
Right. You got to be basically a multimillionaire to eat at Taz's lunch
empanada
wagon.
Cart, yeah.
Right, empanada cart. What's in this? $50. I just cut at the cord.
Just getting lunch here. Just going to lunch, buddy. What do you mean? I work in the building.
The Vikings and Kirk Cousins certainly sent a message in Sunday night. We'll get into that. Good victory for Minnesota. Another tough loss for the Cowboys. That comes your way next. Taz Moose on this Monday morning. CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. To Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
855-212-4CBS.
That hand signal was, but
no,
I'm ready. What's
no, up? I right, threw you. 855-212-4227. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance.
Let's go down to Houston, Texas. Let's have a chat with Kurt. Listen on 610 AM. Kurt, you're on with Taz and Moose. What's up, Kurt?
Hi, what's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Good, buddy. What's going on, man?
Doing well, buddy. What's on your mind, man?
Well, I heard y'all about to talk about the Cowboys, so I figured I'd call in and put my two cents on it. Man, I watched that game last night, and I watched a lot of football. But man, you know, I feel like Zeke Elliott, I feel like he's just not giving it his all anymore. I feel like he got paid, and he's just like, man, I'm just going to relax and just show up.
Mm.
I mean, you know, throughout the last 3 years, he's a leading rusher in the NFL. I mean,
right?
You know, and now it's like, how many 100-yard games has he even had this year? Last year, he was 20 carries for 47 yards. You know,
yeah.
I mean, the guy's been—he's been killing it since 1984, since he was eating bats with Mick Dundee. But he don't do it. He ain't killing it no more.
What did he say? Bats with Mick Dundee.
I don't know what that means.
Mick
sir.
Dundee, the Australian actor?
Oh, Bill Dundee worked Memphis territory with Lawler. No, not him.
Yeah, go watch Crocodile Dundee.
Yes, I got you.
That's right, Kurt, that's not a knife.
This is a knife.
Oh, that was way back in the day, Kurt. Yeah. You went back in the day
way back. You're going late 80s.
Yeah, not playing around.
That's exactly right. Kurt, you really think last night was that Ezekiel Elliott didn't give effort? What about the week previous when he had over 140 yards against the Giants? How was the effort that day?
I mean, okay, look at the Giants' defense, though.
I understand that, but if you have a team like the Minnesota Vikings did, have a concerted effort where we are going to stop the run, where Ezekiel Elliott's not going to run the ball down our throats, and we're going to make Prescott beat us, and they stop the run, then it's on the quarterback to make some plays, which he did, unfortunately, for the Dallas Cowboys. See, I'd come out of that game not being down on Ezekiel Elliott and saying he's not giving max effort because he had 20 carries, 47 yards. You know what I get down on? I get down on the fact of why do the Dallas Cowboys consistently get behind double digits in these games? Why are they falling behind 14-0, 10-0. Every single game, their starts, these games are atrocious.
Right.
And then they have to dig themselves out of it.
But, you know, Ed, Kurt, one more thing off of Moose's point on Zeke Elliott, just to give you some more information. Dude, he's currently sixth right now in the NFL in rushing. He's sixth. And six out of nine games, he had over 100 yards rushing. So, I mean, and these guys, dude, man, they can't go half-ass on the field because that's how you get hurt bad, especially a running back. You can't dog it, man. You just can't because you're going to get lit up. And he's got a good offensive line. You know, I just don't think he had a great game. You know, I just think that, and you got to give the opponent some credit too, the Vikings and how they D'd up. They played a good game defensively, you know?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, Kurt.
Well, thank you very much for
thank
the call.
You. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate when you look at a guy like Elliott and you look at the down game that he had and you say, all right, well, why is that, you know, why is that the case, right? I mean, why is it a scenario here where you look at him struggling? Sometimes you got to look at what the Minnesota Vikings were doing
defensively.
That's what I was
saying, defensively, give them some
and
credit.
And say, you know? All right, well, they had a game plan going in where we're going to stop Ezekiel Elliott, and they went in and they stopped Ezekiel Elliott,
that's
and they
exactly
won the game.
I mean, yeah, so... You know, you got to give some credit right there. They have a really good coaching staff, the Vikings. They're a really good football team. They went into the game. They were 6-2, 6-3 at the time. Yeah, I think they were 6-3. I mean, so they're 7-3 right now, the Vikes. I mean, they're a good team. I mean, yeah, beating the Cowboys down there. I mean, as far as the Cowboys, I thought the Cowboys were going to be much better this year. And they started off pretty good, but I don't know, man. I had them win the NFC East, I believe, and now I don't know. They're 5-4. They got all these weapons, and it's just I don't know what's going on.
Right, I don't disagree. The lack of consistency, the offense should be a little bit better. The Vikings defense, by the way, they are a top 10 unit in the NFL. They're allowing just 91 yards per game on the ground. Right, yeah. So they are a good rush defense. Through the course of 10 games here. So give them a little bit of credit. Now, with that being said, Taz, I don't know. I mean, I think it's mistakes. I think it's bad turnovers. I think it's lack of focus at times from the Dallas Cowboys. I think it's these poor starts. I don't think care how good you are. You can't consistently fall behind in these games and expect to consistently dig yourselves out of it. Without the other team, you leave yourself no margin for error whatsoever.
You're exactly right. And that's how that game started in Dallas, you know, where the Vikings, after the first quarter, had a 14-0 lead.
Yeah.
I know the Cowboys scored 14 coming back, but let's go down to Abilene, Texas, talk to Jacob. Jacob, you're on with Taz and the Moose. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you
what's
doing,
up,
buddy?
Jacob?
What's on, man?
Oh, not a whole lot. I just want to get out of the way. You know, thanks to all the veterans for allowing us to do what we do every day.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
No doubt about that. Yep.
I think the guy from Houston kind of worded what he was trying to say wrong. I don't think for some reason Ezekiel Elliott's vision is there right now. If you noticed last night, he was running into the back of his lineman all night long. There were several holes that he missed that typically he would see in a game where he would rush for 120 yards or something. But for whatever reason last night, he was missing holes, and it wasn't that he was running without effort.
Right.
It's that he was just missing the holes that he's used to seeing, and I don't know if the Vikings defense had something to do with that, which I'm sure it did.
Right.
But
well, there's stuff in gaps, you know, that defensive line, the linebackers, the blitz packages. But, Jacob, you make a really good point as far as vision, especially for running, you know, as most know, running back's vision. That's the key. That quick vision, that quick explosion to cut into a gap, into a hole that opens, to know and read off your lineman's block. I mean, so, and you're right, he was running into his old lineman a good amount, yeah.
And whatever that linebacker's name was that made that play at the end of the game to seal their win, that guy was all over the place last night. So for a guy to come out and play like, you know,
I think it was Kendrick, right?
It was Kendrick.
Yeah. Kendrick, that guy's the man. He's tremendous. Kendrick.
Yeah, that guy's all over the place.
He's a great player, yeah.
For a guy to come out and play like that, what are you supposed to do? I mean, the slow starts with the Cowboys, it's almost like they're trying to tell everybody, hey, we don't want to play for Jason Garrett, but we're going to play because.
Yeah, I'd be a little leery, Jacob. It's almost sometimes, you know, you get a characteristic that starts to define you. And when you're successful and you have had success of being able to come back, it's kind of the worst message a team can get early on in the year. And it happened early on in the year. They fell behind against the Giants. They won the game. They fell behind against the Redskins, Jacob, and they won
Thanks, Jacob.
Taz. I almost think that kind of cemented these slow starts. And when the competition gets better – You're not facing the Redskins every week.
No,
you can't
no.
fall behind 14-0 to the Vikings. I don't care Kirk Cousins' record on the road
it don't matter
against
if you're,
good
right.
teams.
It don't matter if you're home or not. And
right.
Fall behind 14-0 right away. It's a problem.
It's Taz and the Moose on this Monday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.